stocks, bonds, ETFs, straight out of downtown Chicago. This is Zach's Market Edge.
Welcome to Zach's Market Edge, the podcast about investing in your life. I'm your host, Tracy Reinick, and this week I'm joined by Nina Mishra. She's the director of ETF research here at Zach's and also the editor of Zach's Income Investor, which is on dividend-paying stocks. But we're not going to talk about that today because we're going to talk about another topic that we've chatted about several times on the Market Edge, but it's time again, and that is India. So India has long stayed in the shadows for investors up until just recently, really. Everybody's been focused on other big BRICS or emerging market countries like China, Brazil, or even Mexico. But professional investors, Nina, they've been pouring money into India. I had a look around and even I was surprised. So I saw some stats in a Bloomberg article in Indian, just the ETFs from July 2014 to July 2017. So within that 3-year period, $4.7 billion poured into Indian specific ETFs. And that was well outpaced any of the other emerging market ETFs. Investors put $2.7 billion into Brazil during that time, $1.5 billion into Russia, which I was kind of surprised about, and just $0.7 billion into Chinese ETFs, and then followed finally in the number five position by Colombia, which was just 0.4. So it was, you know, well above what anyone's putting into China, and they're pouring that money in there. And then I also saw another stat about foreign institutions, and just this was just into stock in India. And from January to June of this year, so 6 months' time, they bought $8.4 billion worth of stock versus $2.9 in the first 6 months of 2016. So they're really pouring it in there. And then Indian individual investors within the country are pouring it in there. And they're using, sounds like, some interesting investment vehicles that have been around a couple of years now, but are picking up steam, and a lot of the individual investors are getting into equities in them. And those are these things called, I'm looking at my notes here, systematic investment plans, SIPs. And that allows you to put a little bit of money into a mutual fund every month, and it's kind of consistently put in there. And they've really seen the assets grow there since May 2014. Assets under management in these mutual funds that are in these plans have doubled. And then the individual investors in mutual funds are now up to almost about 50%. And that's a big jump up there. And they're all getting into equities now. Like, you see this big like slide. And why wouldn't you? Because when I looked around to see what was happening with the Indian various indexes of their stock market, well, it's soaring. They're hitting record highs like every other week or every other day, it seems. And the two main ones to look at for anyone who doesn't know, because I kind of had a look around myself, are the Sensex.
BSE Sensex.
Yeah, that's the 30 largest stocks, right? So that's kind of, that is that like the Dow Jones?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's basically like the Dow over there. And then this Nifty, that one is a lot more stocks, right? Isn't
yeah,
that like
it's more
50?
Broad base. Yeah.
And I saw that that covered 13 sectors of the Indian economy. Both are hitting new highs, and everybody's chatting about all of them. And I saw some stats about the Nifty index, and apparently it's trading around 23 or 24 times its earnings right now. And over the last 25 years, it's traded historically around 15 to 16 times. So it's a little pricey, but the good news is before the 2008 crash, it was trading at 28 times. So we're not quite there yet.
We are not at all time
highs. So no problem. So you can tell kind of from my tone that I'm a little bit dubious right now, even though I like the India story about getting in at these levels, because everything has soared in 2017. Some of the Indian ETFs are up anywhere from like 30 to almost 50% year to date. Not to say that there won't be further momentum, because the India growth story is still there. We're going to talk about that in a second too. But what do you think about where the stocks are right now?
Sure. So one more stat I wanted to add. You mentioned a number of them. So this year through July 31st, almost $17 billion has come into India funds, which includes ETFs and mutual funds, and compare that to just 7.6 billion in China and 6 billion in Brazil funds. So that is really interesting because
it's more than double.
Yes,
the other two. If you combine the other two, it's still more.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
So foreign investors, they really like the current growth story in India. They like the political stability. They like the government's commitment to reforms, and they like economic growth prospects too. And that is why they are pouring money into the country. The World Bank expects Indian economic growth to accelerate to 7.2% next year, and it would be about 6.8% this year. And stocks have been soaring. The BSE Sensex is up 20% this year, but rupee is also up about 7-8% against the dollar this year. So if you combine the currency appreciation and the stock appreciation, India ETFs have returned 27-28% this year. Those are the large cap ETFs, whereas small cap India ETFs are up like 46-47%.
Yes, I saw that.
And if you look at slightly longer term history, BSE Sensex is up more than 80% in the last 5 years, whereas China's Shanghai Composite is up about 66%. Brazil is up less than 30%, and Russia's index has actually fallen over the past 5 years. So there are a lot of positive structural changes taking place. They may not be good. They may, in fact, hurt the economy in the shorter term, but they will be really good for longer term. In November last year, they demonetized 50 and 1,000 rupee notes.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And those notes accounted for 90% of cash in circulation. And that was to tackle black money hoarded by corrupt people. And then recently, they introduced comprehensive goods and services tax. And this was a move aimed at unifying the tax code because the earlier taxation system was too complicated. So the longer term impact of both these major moves is really going to be positive. For example, by demonetization, they are not only tackling the black money and corruption problem, they are also expanding the tax collection. And in fact, demonetization forced a big move towards digital payments. India used to be a cash dominant economy earlier. And in fact, when I visited in January this year, that was after the demonetization move, I was really surprised, pleasantly surprised by digitization of the economy. You know, everyone from vegetable vendors to housemaids and businesses.
Wow. So even like the street vendors are using digital.
Yeah, yeah.
What kind of digital platforms are they using? I'm just curious.
Mobile phones.
Okay.
Because, you know, India is the second largest smartphone market in the world.
Yeah.
And they have those cheap phones with some smart functions. So they use apps like Paytm. It's very popular over there. There are some apps, payment apps, which are government-sponsored apps. In fact, government created those apps. Those are also pretty popular. So I was really happy with digitization of the economy. Then inflation also has come down a lot, mainly because food inflation has gone down. And of course, oil prices have also gone down. So the central bank has been able to cut the lending rate, the main policy rate, to its lowest level since 2010. So that will boost the economy further. And as I mentioned, these measures which were taken by the government, they may hurt the economy in the short term. So that is why GDP growth fell to 5.7% last quarter. That was mainly due to impact of demonetization. It missed the consensus estimates. And with that slowdown, in fact, China regained the spot of fastest growing economy in the world for two consecutive quarters. For the past so many quarters, India was the fastest growing economy in the world. And I think they will regain this spot again soon.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of positive things going on. When Modi government came to power, then inflation was too high, fiscal deficit was widening, but now both inflation and fiscal deficits have come down significantly, and the central bank is in a position to cut rates further. So I think the economy is moving in the right direction, and Modi's party is widely expected to win general elections again in 2019. So political stability is also there.
Yeah, that's key. I also feel like one part of the dynamic over there that is missed by some investors is the importance of the financial institutions there. And you and I have talked about this, so I wanted to bring it up because I saw some stats that said that the financial industry is now 36% of the publicly traded companies, which is really high for an emerging market. Its banks are known to be fairly stable, and bad performing loans aren't super crazy high. They also have been able to use the financial industry, as you just mentioned, on the digital side. Suddenly everyone's using the digital. But if you have a strong banking sector, that means you can loan money. And loaning money means more businesses. You know, there's going to be growth in various areas, including infrastructure, because you can get loans and you can get access to capital. And that is huge. So I feel like the banks are kind of an known superstars of the whole India system, and why maybe they're getting a little bit of an upper edge on like a China now, where we're all concerned about the Chinese banks, their bad loans. Yes, the shadow banking. And I know that there's some shadow banking in India too, of course, but it just seems like, their big banks in particular are like very well-run institutions.
Yes. So about 70% to 75% of the banking system is government owned. Those banks are not doing too well. The non-performing loans are a problem for those public sector bank, but private sector banks in India, they are growing fast. Banks like ICICI Bank, IDBI Bank, and HDFC Bank, they are doing much better. And I think all the banking system in India is much better regulated than other emerging markets. And I can say that with some confidence because I worked with the Reserve Bank, which is the regulator of the banking system in India. So banks are better capitalized in India than many other emerging markets. And they are moving closer to, Basel and other international norms in terms of capital adequacy as well. And recently they have taken some measure to force bankruptcy and all on non-performing loans. So they revised the bankruptcy code. So that should also tackle the issue of non-performing loans at these banks.
Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah.
So we're going to see some more reforms probably still going on.
Yeah.
And just on a side note, you and I have mentioned this, like a lot of these biggest banks, the private ones, are run by women. They're like women CEOs in there. Mm-hmm. I know that there's like a couple big ones. Well, ICICI has like, she's like a legend, Shanda Kochar.
Yes. So ICICI Bank is the largest public sector bank in India. And Shanda Kochar has been the CEO since 2009. And the largest public sector bank in India, State Bank of India, is also led by a woman.
Then there's a whole bunch of other ones too.
Yes, there are many women.
Even Axis Bank, that's a woman at Axis too, I think.
Yashika. Yashika something, yeah. And there are many banks which are led by women. In fact, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal a couple years back, which like examined why so many banks in India are led by women. I mean, in a country where gender inequality is still a big issue. So according to that article, that banks, the culture in banks was good. Banks ensured that women did not feel being at a disadvantage. So they tended to,
they rose up the ranks from what I saw.
Moved up the ranks.
Yeah.
And banking sector was a big, still a big employer in India. And if you talk about, 15, 20 years back when tech companies were not so big in India, I think banking sector was the preferred employer among women. Now, of course, I've seen so many women working at tech companies, but things were different 20 years back.
Right. It's going to take a while for them to move up the ranks, the younger ones.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a few of those bank stocks, because you can invest in them here through the ADRs in the U.S. I used to own ICICI, but it was over like 10 years ago I bought it because I was interested in investing in India. And that's kind of before a lot of the country-specific ETFs exploded and I didn't have as many options. So I went with the bank and I was taking a look at it again. You know, a lot of both of the bigger banks, that one and HDFC, you can buy that one too. These tickers are IBN and HDB. Mm-hmm. Both are like huge, obviously. They're both Zacks threes. There's not a lot of analysts on it because they are foreign banks, which is kind of common. So we only have like two or three on each. You do have the earnings growth and all of that, but neither one is real cheap here, it doesn't seem like. And I don't know, it seems a little bit riskier to get in at the banks, like as individual stocks at this point.
Yeah, these are the largest and the second largest private sector banks in India. Tickers, as you mentioned, IBN, HDB, they're both good banks, growing very fast, but very expensive too.
Yeah.
So I think for investors, for US investors who want to invest in India, ETFs are a better way to invest because of the diversification that they provide. So there are two ETFs which I think investor could consider. The first one has a ticker INDA, INDA. It is a product.
That's easy.
It is a product by iShares. It's a market cap weighted ETF.
Is this one that's just like the general large caps?
Large cap.
Okay.
It is up about 29% this year. Again, a lot of appreciation. The second one which I like is by WisdomTree. The ticker is EPI. This is a fundamentally weighted ETF, so it considers, it looks at companies' earnings and profitability and weights them accordingly. So this is also a very good ETF. This is slightly more expensive than the first one. And this is up more than 32% this year.
And is that's also large caps?
Yeah, mostly large cap companies. And if you want to look at smaller cap ETFs, there are two which you can consider. The one by Venek has a ticker of SCIF, and there's another one by iShares, which also focuses on small cap stocks. The ticker is SMIN. Now, both these are up about 46% or more.
I saw that.
This year. So they at these levels, it's a bit, you know, difficult for me to recommend these. But I think large cap companies in India still have a good growth story for longer term investors.
Yeah, this sounds like a situation opposite of what's happening in the U.S. markets, where the large caps and the fangs and all of that are leading the bull charge here, and the small caps have really been lagging. But over there, I mean, their large caps have done just fine. You can't really complain about 30%, but the small caps and the mids, it sounds like, have really, you know, taken the charge.
Because the economy has been doing so well, and middle class is expanding, their incomes are growing. So those smaller domestically focused companies have really been doing well of late.
Yeah. Now, I took a look at that big cap ETF just to kind of see what was in it. The iShares India with INDA was the ticker there. Mm-hmm. And you are going to get the banks if you buy that one. So if you are interested in the banks, it has HDFC in there, obviously. Mm-hmm. ICIC is in there. Axis Bank is in there. But you're also going to get some of the Tata companies, Tata Consultancy Services, Tata Motors. You're going to get Infosys. And
Infosys is the largest tech company in India. And you can invest in Infosys via ADR too.
Right. You could buy that one on its own. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to get Hindustan Unilever too, which is on the consumer side.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if you're interested in the banks and the finance side, it's about 25% of that ETF I saw. Mm-hmm. And these top 10 holdings are about 43% of the total. So you're going to get that. And then obviously the small caps, you're going to get a lot bigger, you know, choices. And one of them I saw included some micro caps because I think there probably aren't enough small caps, so they have to go real small.
Yeah.
That was that VanEck one. Mm-hmm. So that you get some micro caps, so you got to watch out. But I did see that So far this year, I think there's been 26 companies go IPO. That's quite a bit. And then four more are expected to go this month in September when we're recording this, including, this is my favorite, matrimony.com. I like any of those dating ones. So, and I couldn't really find that much about it, but I'm like, ooh, matrimony.com. Maybe I'll buy the small cap ETF so I can get that, because some of these companies sound kind of interesting, of course. But yeah, like there's a lot going on, but some of these signs seem to indicate to me like more of a bubble than ours. Like our IPO market isn't exploding. It's not 1999 here in the US. It feels more 99-ish over in India when I'm reading these things. And just, I don't know, maybe it's the general optimism and all the money that's now pouring into equities. Here in the States, people are still buying bonds. Mm-hmm. They're not even buying into stocks, really. And everybody I talked to, nobody at any parties is asking me anything about any kind of stock. Mm-hmm. I don't know. When you were in India, did people talk about stocks? Did you hear?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
they did? See?
They
okay, this is like scary.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I remember from, you know, our boom. But that doesn't mean that this won't go on for quite some time before it crashes, basically. So I don't know. I'm going to keep an eye on it for myself, even though I do like the India story. We were talking before we went on the air about how they're just about to start construction on a new bullet train.
It's going to be very
interesting. Yeah. And that's a big deal in conjunction with the Japanese are helping them with the financing, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know about the construction part, but at least the financing. And no one does bullet trains as good as the Japanese, who kind of, you know, went down that path really early.
Yeah. 1964 or something?
Yeah, long time ago. So they no longer consider it cutting edge, but that's a great feat. So a lot of money, it seems, is going into some of the infrastructure issues in India too, which should also boost it going forward. So I still love the India story, as you said, like the GDP, that growth rate is very tantalizing.
Yeah, I think India is the brightest. It's among the brightest stars in terms of economic growth in the world. And it is, again, going to regain the position of fastest growing economy in the world. And things are moving in the positive direction for the longer term. So for investors who are looking at longer term, probably India is still a good place to look at.
Okay, let's recap the tickers that we gave. So if you are interested in just buying like the standalone banks, you can always get those. They're not our favorite, but if you want to, those tickers are IBN and HDB. And then we had a couple of the ETFs. So India ETF was INDA. We had EPI, which is also like the bigger cap side. Then we had a whole bunch of the small caps. We had SCIF and SMIN. And then there's a few others, aren't there? Like there's an infrastructure one and like a consumer one too.
Yeah, the consumer one is INCO. It's focused on consumers, but that's also really appreciated a lot this year.
Yeah. But if you're interested in those areas, so there's quite a few to choose from now in India. There didn't used to be. So this is a good development, I feel, because now we have a lot more areas open to us. So we're gonna have to check in on this again,
sure.
You know, in 6 months or so and kind of see what's happening and if the market stays this hot and how those reforms are panning out. But yeah, India growth story, definitely one you might want to be in or at least keeping an eye on. So if you're interested in our other India other India podcasts, be sure to check those out on iTunes. I know we had one. Gosh, it was a while ago, though.
We talked about big tech companies.
Oh, yeah.
Apple, Facebook, Google.
Yeah, that was on the
Uber.
U.S. side,
yeah,
like going into
India. Yeah.
That's right. That was an interesting one. And a lot of that, I've been reading some stuff again on like Flipkart, and that competition is still on.
Yeah,
there's still Alibaba over there, Amazon, and then India's own, both on the delivery side and all of that is like a huge thing still going on. So you might want to check out that podcast. I'll try to link to it in the article to this podcast so that you can check that one out. And you can get all of our other podcasts on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, as it's now called, and on SoundCloud. Both, you can subscribe to both and get all of our podcasts because you don't want to miss any of them because you never know what is the next interesting topic. But until next time, I'll see you then.